Hello. So I'm going to share a little bit of my journey again with you, which I frequently do, because God seems to need to do an awful lot in my life, which sometimes it's helpful for other people to hear because it might encourage you along your way. So I want to go back to before Mike and I moved here many years ago. We were part of a church in Cornwall that we had helped to set up and start. It was birthed in New Revelation at that time. It was birthed in everything that we knew to be true back then. It was quite radical. There wasn't anything else around like it then. We were an excited bunch of people who just wanted to pursue God no matter what. And it's the no matter what, really, that can be a bit of an issue for us at times. Because when you say to God, no matter what, you have to be prepared for what that might bring along your way. So we had real hearts to pursue God. And the kind of tagline of the church was, constant change is here to stay. Which doesn't make an awful lot of sense when you look at it. But basically what it meant is, you're going to change. And then you're going to change. And then you're going to change some more. So don't get comfortable, because constant change is here to stay. So the way that we have to live is changing, because God brings revelation, he shows different things. We're in this journey and adventure, and it was a bit of a whirlwind, to be fair. It's like, oh my goodness, now what? You just settle, you just do something, and you think, oh, and then something would change again. So that's been a little bit of a story of our lives and how we've been in our adventures with God. But back then, change was an even bigger issue for me than it is now. And I like routine. I like structure. We have four children, small children. Life was busy. Church was crazy. Everything was really busy. So I liked things routined and structured. Safe comfort zones. That's the way that I like things to be. And then, at a certain point in time, it was mentioned that Mike and I may need to move house. Well, how ridiculous that thought was, I can't even begin to tell you. A, we lived in the most beautiful place in the world ever, St Ives, right at the bottom of Cornwall. My whole family were there. Why would you ever want to move? Not that I was rigid and inflexible, you understand. So there was a challenge that was put forward and suggestions. So for 2 years, God worked really deeply in me. I had to deal with all sorts of things where I would get to the place where, actually, if God's saying that we need to move, this was locally, this was still within 10 miles of where we actually lived anyway, then I'm prepared to do that. So that was my first real challenge about change and being flexible for what God wanted. At the end of that time, it was no longer necessary for us to move. But God had done something really deep on the inside of me. And I didn't actually even want to stay where I was then. I was like, get me out of this place. Which, at some point later, it was then God started to talk to us about moving here. But when God did that, I was already prepared. God had done the change on the inside of me where I was ready to embrace coming here. So in 1994, we moved here in 1994. So it was quite a long time again to begin this adventure. And we met with a fantastic group of people. We were all of one heart. It was an amazing time. We were birthed in Isaiah 61, which is what we're still birthed in now. It's our mandate about healing the brokenhearted, bringing good news to the poor. I won't read it out, but it's like that's what God put deep in our hearts back then. And although that has not changed, everything else has changed. We don't look anything now, apart from the fact that we're 20 some odd years older. I mean, corporately or anything, we don't look now like we did then. Although back then was what we felt God was saying to us at that time. And I think really what I want to be sharing with you is we are fluid. We are changing. We are on an adventure and a journey, and that goes somewhere, and it's not stagnant. So our change, my change, has to be ongoing. So the move, we change continually over the years. And because we want more of God, because we said whatever it takes, God. Because we said we want what you want, we have had to change continually. There's fresh revelation that comes. God is revealing stuff all the time, and particularly over the last few years here for us as a church. Along the way, we've done everything. We've done so many different things that we felt God had said, which have been stepping stones along the way. But recently, one of the most important things that we've done is we've dismantled, deconstructed our mindsets, our belief systems. We've examined why do we think what we think, and we've allowed God to dismantle things. And for some people it's been exciting, and for some people it's been really, really difficult. But it's all okay when we say, God, you're in control. So one of the most important things that we know, which can never change, is who is God? What is it that we have taken on board, that we have believed, that we have been part of because of man-made religion? It's one of the biggest things that we've had to dismantle and come back to saying, who and what is God? And that is, God is love. And everything else just that we have to let go of that doesn't tie up with our loving God. And having that intimate face-to-face encounters with him, stepping into heaven, meeting Jesus, those are the things that we know that we know that we know is God's heart for everyone. And that's become the basis of who we are now, that we have access to heaven, that we need to know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in intimacy in our lives. And then we can discover who we are. We can discover our destiny, how we need to live, our purpose. You know, God knew us before we ever came here. And we were so precious to him. And each one of us has a plan, a destiny, and a purpose. And part of who we are here is to facilitate people knowing God in that personal, intimate way and finding who they are and what it is that he has for them to do by bringing heaven to earth, by living to rule. So many Christians live defeated lives because they don't know who they really are. And God has so much more for us. Because once we know who we are, once I know who I am, I can give it away. And as I start to see things in my life where I've believed lies, where I've believed wrong truths, where I've been robbed, and I get God's healing on the inside of me, then I can have authority in that area and I can start giving it away. And I can start changing the atmosphere and the environment around me. And I can start seeing the restoration that God so wants to bring to the world. So all religion is something that we've been trying to dismantle and get rid of. Now, as I've said, as a person, I do like to be comfortable. I like to live within my little comfort zone. Some people don't. Some people like to live on the edge, be spontaneous, live adventurous ways. That's fine. And we all need to be free to be who we are. But what I was bound up by not needing to be like that. So God, again, has been doing a deep work in me regarding change. And I'm much better at responding to change now that I ever was in the past. But I wouldn't say I particularly chase it. I wouldn't say I go after it like some people do. And to be fair, God's had to deal a lot within me to do with mistrust and fear. And those are things that can stop us from wanting change. And if we've been hurt in the past, then we can put our barriers up. And now I just think I catch up. And guess what? Constant change is here to stay, and things change again, and I need to be more flexible. Now, we are not a traditional church, whatever that might look like. We are not a traditional church, which is why, in some ways, change is easier for us, because we don't have to come under anything. We're not ruled by anything. We can be open and say, okay, God, what is it that you're saying for us at this point in time? Recently, God has been challenging us to say, you might not be a traditional church, but do you have traditions that you have set up for yourselves? Oh, what can that mean? Of course not. We just do what you want us to do, God. But he's been challenging us. Why do we do what we do? When we meet, when we gather, when we have our groups, even though we're not traditional, have we set things in place which can become traditions for us? As in, we meet on Sundays, we have coffee, we usually have a little talk, then we do an activation, and then we worship. I like it, do you? But has it become a bit of a tradition? Is it something that we now expect to do because we like it? Not that there's anything wrong in any of those things, because I like it. But that's not the point. If we are constantly flowing and growing and pursuing what God is saying to us, then we need to be constantly examining why we do what we do. And this is where we're in the place right now. And I think that this has gone out wider. And for a lot of people, they're not here right now because they're examining, why do I do what I do? Why do I go to church? Why do I meet here? Why do I? And I think that's what God is saying to all of us. And over the summer, particularly, things have really started to change for us. And quite frankly, can get really uncomfortable. You know, I don't like it when there's people missing who normally come here. But I think people are in this process where they're examining, what is it that I need to be doing? So, why do we meet? Why do we have music? Why do we sing songs? Why do we have a talk? What's the purpose of our meeting together? These are all questions that God is asking us to reconsider, so that we're not just doing something because we've always done it. Now, as a seven, Adventure 7, we're responsible for our gatherings, for our meetings together here in this place. And this is what we're seeking God about right now. Now, for me, I love the worship when we have a big band. I just do. I think probably most people do that big band sound when you've got drums and you've got guitars and, you know, you look back a few months and we had a full band here. And I love that. So this is not about not loving that. But over the last month, that seems to have been stripped away. Some weeks we've had one musician, some two. And what God is saying is, what does worship in me look like? Does it depend on having a great big band of musicians? What is it that worship is? Because we know it's more than that. It can include that, but we know it's more than that. But there's a challenge because it's changed, because it's different. And for some people, if we don't like it, what do we do? And that's the challenge to us. Quite frankly, a few weeks ago, I was speaking, I think, I don't know, for 2 out of the 3 weeks, and we didn't have any musicians. I was horrified. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? But you know what? It was fab. Not fab because we had no musicians. But we had to change. We had to adapt. We had to rely on God. And actually, God stepped in, and it's our mindsets often that get in the way, because I was at the point of thinking, I'm not speaking if we got no music. So it's just a challenge to us. We have to come back. What's God saying? Why is what's happening happening? Is he looking to do some deep work in us? Now, you may be saying, but I like singing worship songs. Me too. This is not anti-songs, this is not anti-worship, and I'm not really talking about worship in that sense, because whenever we're together, our whole lives are about worshipping God. This is about when we come corporately together, and all I want to really be doing is challenging you where you are, so that you are challenging your own mindsets. So as we are discovering the importance of frequency, of sound, of vibration, of smells, oils, of colours, what does that look like for us? There are new things that we are coming across that we will be pursuing. So we are on a journey of discovery, and it may be uncomfortable. Quite frankly, I find it quite uncomfortable, but does that mean we shouldn't go there? For 3 weeks, we had the crystal bowls that were playing here. Well, it's not that long ago. I don't know how long ago you brought them back, the crystal bowls. Okay, so a year ago was the first I'd ever seen of these crystal bowls, and I was like, what now? This is too bonkers. This is too weird. enough already. Now, it might have taken me a little while, but I'm not in that place now because I have been open to have my mindset changed, and I have changed. Now I see the relevance and the power behind the sound and the frequency they carry. We've had testimony of the frequency and the impact that they carry at a healing level. So we mustn't let, and I put my hand up here, we mustn't let our lack of understanding put us off. And we have to be flexible. Now, I was looking at my notes about, I shared back in June, so that's a few months ago now, that we, as a seven, we were challenged to think outside of the box. What could we look like if we removed the boundaries, if we removed the box? Did we put God in a box? What could we be? Well, I didn't respond with delight at this. But here we are. We've started that process. We are pursuing outside of the box. At that time, I said to God, okay, so what is it that you need to do in me? And God told me that I was boxed in, that I had a box on my head, and I couldn't see outside of it. And I don't know if you remember, but I actually brought a box here, and we jumped on it for our mindsets to say, we will not be boxed in. We won't box God in. We are prepared to embrace whatever it is that God is saying beyond the constraints of my mind right now. And I gave him permission, and he dismantled my box. Now I'm enjoying the bowls. I'm enjoying the freeness, if that's a word.
Freedom.
Exploring what is it that God is saying now. And I can see a bigger panorama. I can see that there's more than when I was constrained in my mindset. Now, I may have a bigger box that God needs to dismantle at some point in time, but I'm up for that. But I am prepared to go there. It's not all bad. It's not about like everything we do is wrong. It's not about that at all. It's just about being open to pursue and to hear afresh. What is God saying to us now? Now, I can resist or I can embrace. If I resist, I probably get disgruntled and fed up and moany. Or I can embrace it. And I can say, I might not understand everything here that's going on, but actually, we're in this together. And we can explore this together. What does it look like? We went through a whole period of time where we were talking about coming into the new. But you know what? The more I've been on my own little journey recently, and I'm doing releasing toxic emotions course, so I'm learning about essential oils. I'm becoming a knowledgeable person. And I'm learning about different things. It's not new at all. It's just old stuff that was there, that got lost, that God is bringing back. And it's really interesting. I don't know if this was about 2 years ago or 3 years ago. We were in a leadership type meeting, and I had an encounter, which was quite bizarre for me because I don't normally get engagements or encounters like this. But in the spiritual realm, I encountered this person with a big hood over his face. Like, he looked a bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, you know, from Star Wars. And I didn't really know anything about it. And when people were sharing, I thought, it's a bit weird. I don't know if I dare say anything or not. But I shared, well, I had this encounter with this person, and he told me his name was Abijah. And Mike was like, that's an ancient one. They're revealing themselves to people all over the world. And I'm like, oh, okay then. Well, I looked up Abijah, and the word means son of Yahweh, which was really like, oh, okay, I'm not too bonkers. Well, yeah, only a little bit. But it was, and what he said to me was, you need to go back to the ancient pathways, which meant absolutely nothing to me whatsoever. The whole thing meant nothing to me. But recently, as I've been pursuing this new little adventure and journey, for me, it's like, this is what it means. All the things, the oils, the frequencies, the sounds, the colours, the restoration of those things, it's what always should have been. So for me, that explains that. And I'm like, okay, I need to embrace this. I need to change because God has already showed me about this. So in our process of change, it can be quite difficult because for some people, they feel this is not for me anymore. And if you look around, I mean, I know some people aren't here today because they're not here today, but over the course of the last few months, some people have decided this isn't the right place for them, that they want to move on and find somewhere else to be part of. Well, we want to bless them on their way. It's not falling out with people. It's everybody needs to be where they feel God wants them to be and find a place where they can outwork their destiny. So we want to release them and bless them along their way. But I'm going to encourage you, if you're here, please stay. Bring a friend. Or two, or three. Because no matter what, sometimes what you see in front of you is the opposite of what you feel God is saying. Because God is saying that he's going to join people and add people, and that actually we are to equip people in the supernatural realm to engage with God face to face and to take their place of responsibility. And when you look around, it's like, okay, there's three of us then. But God is bigger than that. And obviously, part of the mandate and the blueprint is the Engaging God program. And there are people all over the world who are tuned in to what we are doing here. And they are part of us. So that's also what we need to be doing. But I'd encourage you to stay. Travel this journey with us, this adventure. Because an adventure moves. It doesn't stay still. It changes. Sometimes the terrain is quite difficult to maneuver. But actually, God is with us and for us. And he wants us to move on. I looked up transition, because that's a word we hear a lot, isn't it? We're in transition. What, again? Yes, again. So transition, process of a period of changing from one state or condition to another. Well, the Bible tells us that we're going to change from glory into glory. We need to be changing all the time anyway. So transition is just part of life. But other words, change, move, transformation, adaptation, adjustment, alter action, change over, metamorphosis, shift, switch, progression, development, evolution. Does that describe us? I think it probably should. So, the whole of who we are at this point of time is in those words, transition. Everything that God has said to us is in transition. So many people right now are in personal transition in their circumstances. As a project, we're in complete transition. I mean, I thought I would retire from the day centre. I never saw myself leaving. I still love the day centre. I love what it is. I love the people. I love everything about it. And a few months ago, I would never have seen myself not being there. But God has moved me on. And so many people right now are in that process of change. So the day centre is looking totally different. We want to be offering therapies to people so that we don't just love in them. We know that God wants us to love people. But actually, we want to move them forward in their lives so they don't stay stuck. So that's a whole area which is changing. Our housing is changing. Safe sleep is changing. So many things are in transition. So we need to be aware that constant change is here to stay. And when I was looking back or thinking back about, well, where do I fit in things and who am I and what's my destiny and blah, blah, you know, in a good way, not a bad way. And I was thinking, you know, part of my passion is to see people, you know, restored in their identity and to be set free and to become into wholeness. And I was thinking, you know, even if I go back 12 months, the revelation that I now have, I probably wouldn't speak or do the things I did then in the same way because we are changing. So change is good if we embrace it in that way. So that's just a little bit of my story of how I've got where I am. So part of me is like, oh my goodness. And part of me is like, this can be exciting. So I just want to, you know, encourage you to ride this. Well, I wasn't going to say that because that's like that. But yeah, encourage you that God is on the move and he wants us all to come into the best. So I think Alice has got something to share, or Joe, or somebody. Grand.
So I lived in a comfortable four-bedder in town. And the way we chose this particular four-bedder is that I got drunk in one of the pubs in town and walked home. And the place where I got fed up of walking home, I said to Trish, anywhere from there to town will do. And that's how we picked it. And comfortably we sat in this thing for a decade. I could have a thing out the back. It was all, I mean, it was highly tuned to my every whim and fancy, and it was very comfortable and very neat and very clean and very tidy. Anyway, it came about that we decided to sell this thing. And towards the end, we were sort of pot-bound. And I remember, I think the day for me that made the difference was I had two neighbours who were obviously in a similar form of dysfunction, of normality. And they were both kind of giving us heat about not mowing this strip of land that was on the other side of my boundary wall because it made the place look untidy. Which, if you knew my roots, was, I mean, this was the height. This, a bit of overgrown grass is nothing compared to what I've seen it done. But anyway, and these guys are making this big deal about this stupid bit of grass. And it's not even my bit of grass. It belongs to the council, yeah, who we pay loads of money to deal with this, right? And they said, yeah, we'll come and cut it once a quarter. It's not a problem, right? Okay, great. Because everybody walks their dog, yada, yada, yada. So there's loads of all this. And I just thought, is that it? Is that what that's what occupies my mind, is what's that super strip of grass and you guys beefing about it. So I knew the change was coming, because that's when you know. Because, yeah, like, the things that you did that seemed perfectly reasonable suddenly become daft. You think, why am I doing that? Anyway, fair enough. So a long time later, we now live in a place we couldn't imagine that we would have. And Trish went from watching stupid things on ITVB with American women bitching each other, all plastic Barbie doll things anyway. And I thought, oh, love, you know, this isn't it, surely, you know. But then she started watching these things where they're making these log cabins up in Alaska and stuff like that. And it's like, actually, that seems quite appealing. So I knew we were in for a change. Anyway, it's like, yeah, that, I want some of that. I don't know about some of this. Yeah. So anyway. So, long story short, but with much, you know, kind of God moves in lots of different things. Lots of things have to be right. And he's usually overcome all of your objections before you get to the point where you can make the step, if that makes any sense. If you're going, yeah. So, my son got a place, you know, lots of things that would have meant, no, we can't really move because of all these other excuses, melted away. And then, we haven't really got the money for it. Oh, the price came down, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so, and then I thought, and the moment I remembered all of that was when I was having to clean the ride-on mower that I now have to have because I've got so much bloody grass that it takes me half a day to mow it. So change does come about, and it's kind of weird. You don't really, it's just in those moments. Or when I had to get the chainsaw out to go and cut some logs, for we now have a log burner. So it's difficult to say. It's not like a snap. It's kind of a lovely, gentle. It's not a roller coaster. You're right. It's going with the flow. Going with the flow, and you will be where God kind of wants you to be. Don't fight it and harass it. You know, you have to let the things go. But eventually you get there. And it's still frightening because I'm there now going, have we got enough fuel for the winter? Oh, I've got to mow the thing again. When am I going to put all the cut-ins? What's living in the cut-ins? And how big is it? And will it like me when it finds out about me? And why is it so dark? So we're all, it is a transition. So I thought I'd share that as a kind of, it happens anyway. Learn to smile and go with it. Don't try and fight it, is what I'm probably trying to say. Okay? That's that.
Right, this is very short and sweet, and it's probably very similar to Deb's, but I just thought I'd write something down just for this morning. So, change. So I also looked up change, see what it meant, and it says, the state of one thing and becoming another, or also of being in one thing and it changing around you. So, I think as Deb said, the question is, do we remain stale and stagnant like a smelly old pond? Or do we embrace change and allow the river of life to flow through us? So I used to dislike change a lot. I really, really hated it, but I thought I better not say hate. I really disliked it a lot. And when I left my old job, a long time ago now, and church. And came here, it was such a battle for me. It was really hard, very emotional, but as you can see, I'm here and I'm okay. Because it used to be comfort and a routine that suited me. And change wasn't safe. But actually, change is safe. If we have revelation that we are in Jesus, and He is our safe place, whatever we are going through, or whatever is going on around us, if we are safe in that Jesus bubble, then it will not matter. Because we're in Jesus, He's around us, and wherever we go, it's fine. It is safe. And that was revelation to me. And I was just reading this morning, and in the Mirror Bible, it says, we often feel hemmed in on every side, but our inner space remains unrestricted. Where there seems to be no way out, we escape within. But that's escaping into the unseen eternal realm where God dwells. And that we let have our full attention, and we let it captivate our gaze, so that we focus on Jesus and not what is going on around us. I thought that's actually really helpful. Well, to me. So what is the point of change? So that the image of God in us, God Himself, can be revealed and redeemed first to us and then to a hurting world. Change is like being in a caterpillar's cocoon, bound up, not being able to move and not liking it. But then, after struggle, turning into a beautiful butterfly, free to dance and fly as God intends. So the struggle, our destiny, our journey is worth it.
I think, lots has been said this morning, and a lot of what we've talked about is actually change right here with us. But actually, we live in a culture, and in the worldwide scene is that change is happening. If you think about Brexit, Britain made a decision that we were going to change, that we weren't going to stick with how we were, that we wanted something different. We felt that there was potential in something. It may not be everybody's opinion, but we made a choice, and actually, that creates a momentum, and it creates a sound in what is happening in the world, where it's like creates a ripple effect. And so these big things are happening sort of nationally and internationally, which we are in the heart of God. He wants things to be different. He wants things for the status quo to be challenged. And you know, I'm not a political expert, and I don't actually often watch the news, because it just is so much chatter, and there's so much negativity about it. But actually, it's in God's heart that we move forwards. And so it's always positive, and it may feel really difficult, and it may feel like there is resistance, and it may be external or it might be internal, but there is God's heart is for us to move forwards into something wider and bigger. So I thought, I don't know, Dan, if you can find some music. I thought just for a few minutes, it would be just really good to engage with change and to, like, hold on to what you have and think, these are the things I had. They may be good things, or they may be things that God wants you to let go of. But what I want to encourage you to do is to put them on the altar, because that is a place of exchange. So we can give God those things that we think we cannot change in, the things that we hold really closely and think we want to hold tight to these things. Or it may be that the things that you think, oh yeah, I'm happy to let go of these. So it's just things in your life, things to do with church, expectations, hopes and dreams. Just put all of those things on the altar, because what happens is God burns up the things that don't belong to us, but He then restores back to us all the things that He wants us to keep. And actually, quite often, He gives us even more than we could hope or imagine. So if we could just spend a few minutes, if you want to close your eyes, just get into a relaxed state. So we're just going to step through that door into God's presence. Thanks, Dan. So, Jesus, I thank you that you are the doorway. You are the doorway into the spiritual realms. You are the doorway into the more. You are the doorway into connection with God. So we come and we open that door. And we step through into the realms of heaven, the realms of infinity, the realms of provision, where you provide everything that we need. And we take hold of all of our hopes, all of our expectations, all of those things that we feel familiar with, all of our ideas about what church looks like, what worship looks like, who we are, what we're about. And we give those to you, God, as an offering of our praise and our adoration. And we ask you to take them and to burn up everything that doesn't belong to us anymore. We come and we ask you to just purify us, purify our expectations, purify our hopes. And we thank you that you hold us tight in this process, and you never leave us and you never let us go. Father, we come before you and we know that you are a place of exchange. You never leave us empty-handed. Your love is abundant and lavish and overflowing. And we ask you to just give back to us what you want us to keep. Give us things that will take us forward into our destiny. Give us things that will cause us to be a light to the world and a hope for our nation and our world. Father, we just honor you and we thank you for what you're doing with us in this process. Father, and we wrap our spirits around everything that you've given us, whether we can cognitively connect with it or whether we just have to receive it by faith. But we say yes to everything that you're giving to us, everything you're opening up for us, because we want to be walking in our destiny with you on your pathways. Father, I ask that you release scrolls of destiny, scrolls of life scrolls, eternal scrolls, Father, that you give us a mandate and a blueprint for where we're going. So this is a process, this is a journey, and we may need to continue to talk about these things. We may need to continue to give God the things that we're holding on to that we think belong to us now, and then we'll find down the road that they don't. But we're in this together, and we're family, and we're on this journey together. And so if you feel like you need help with it, if you feel like it's scary and you just need somebody to stand with you, then ask for help. We're in this together, and we're going to do this wild journey together.